to do. So let's start here with me and you. Gonna take a little time. Let's see what we can find. Oh, come on, walk with me, talk with me, tell me your stories. I'll do my best to understand you.
And welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host, and we come your way every Saturday from 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific Time. And we live stream or stream live, whichever way you want it, on the internet at richarddugan.com. And we try to bring you those choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true, to help make your world a better world, the kind of world that you want to live in. And we certainly hope that you are gleaning all kinds of great things from many of our guests here on the program as we open up the doorways to things that sometimes I've never even heard of before, or ideas that I've never even considered before. But it broadens our horizons, as it were, as we are often told when we are children, you know, go to the library and read a book and broaden your horizons. And we certainly hope that this program is doing that for you. We have an interesting announcement that will be coming up in the month of December, an expansion of this radio program. So we hope that you will join us in December. During the month of December, we'll be announcing an addition to this broadcast. I'm real excited about it. Looks like it's going to happen, and we'll keep you posted. So we are going to talk about a system of timekeeping that basically defines the beginning and length and divisions of the year. We're talking about a calendar, but more than that, we're going to be talking about a very specific calendar. And my guest in studio is Lisa Starr, who has created a 13-month calendar. You're a local Santa Barbaran, and you've been researching this for a number of years, and I want to welcome you to our program.
Thank you.
Let me ask you to start with, what kind of work are you doing here in the Santa Barbara area that relates around the calendar that you've created?
I work all the time teaching. Some of it is online, but I do teach locally, and I'm a clairvoyant as well as a Mayan astrologer, so I do a lot of personal work, readings, and crisis help, I would say, in these changing times.
You've opened up a door that I have to walk through. A Mayan astrologer? Now, that's a new one. I have a Western astrology and Vedic astrology I'm familiar with. I've never heard of Mayan astrology.
Right. The description of being a Mayan astrologer describes the astrology and not me. I'm not Mayan, but I know a lot about
the
cycles. I'm pretty sure. Okay. Maybe a past life.
Okay.
The cycles of the Mayan calendar as they described it and have been, you know, uprooted through archaeology and lots of research that's current in our media now. I know about these cycles and I can share birth energy through them.
Okay. So what would you require from someone in order to be able to lay out a Mayan chart?
It's so simple. It's just your day of birth. It doesn't even need to be the time. It's just what this day is described on their calendar describes how you might behave and your purpose for your incarnation, actually.
Okay. Yeah. I'm fascinated. I would even want to ask the question.
What you'd want to know about yourself.
I want to know about myself.
That's how we get people excited about this.
That's right. Very interesting. Well, maybe we'll talk about that during the break as we continue. First of all, you have this wonderful calendar, which is actually entitled Natural Time. It's a 13-moon calendar, and it's inspired by the Mayan cycles. And you also overlay it with red overtone moon year. That's what this calendar is referring to.
That's right. We're in a year called Red Overtone Moon. Now, okay. Granted, that's a modern English version of a Mayan name.
Okay. And this goes from July, according to the, am I correct, we're in the Gregorian calendar?
Yeah, our 12-month calendar is Gregorian.
So this starts July 26th of 2010 and goes to July 24th of 2011.
That's right.
Okay. Well, there are a lot of questions I have just in reference to the various parts that we've already mentioned about your calendar. We're going to get more into that as we continue talking with Lisa Starr and her Natural Time 13-moon cycle calendar here on Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. We want you to stay right where you are. We'll also have a visit from Beth McDonald later on in the program to give us a little insight from her perspective as our astronomical and astrological assignment editor. And we'll be talking about the days to come here and abroad as well. Stay tuned. This is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World.
You have a message that others can benefit from. A meditation to share, A talk to give that you want heard by more than just those present. A workshop, seminar, presentation with speakers whose information, insight, and inspiration can help others to break through to their highest potential and purpose. Making a quality recording is the first step to making it available, and Fast Forward is the right direction. They'll bring the recording studio to you. Your message is important. It needs to be recorded by professionals who share your passion and want to provide quality recording to those who want and need to hear it. Call 805-708-9804 to take that first step. 805-708-9804. Call Fast Forward for all your recording needs on location and in studio. 805-708-9804.
Hi, I'm Elizabeth Stewart, and I'm here to help you. An appraisal of your art and antiques may be the best investment you can make today. You know, after the fires, folks were concerned about their valuables and asked what was the best way to protect them for insurance purposes. You need an appraisal to determine value. When you plan your trust and will, and you want to give treasured art and antiques to your family, you need an appraisal to determine value and be fair. When you want to sell art or antiques in this fluctuating market, you need an appraisal to determine value. When you need help selling something for the highest value, you need an appraisal. And when you have inherited art and antiques and want to know what you have, you need an appraisal. I'm Elizabeth Stewart, a certified appraiser for these past 20-odd years, and I can help. An appraisal is less expensive than you think and may be the best investment in these times. The first consultation is free, so call me at 805-895-5005 and check out my radio show on AM 1290.
This is Tell Me Your Story. I am your host, Richard Dugan, and I thank you much for joining us on this program. As we come your way every Saturday, 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific time, and in December, we'll be announcing an expansion. That's right. As we're trying to expand all of our horizons, our consciousness, if you will, our understanding, our awareness of what's going on in the world. And I've often wondered, Lisa Starr, a guest here on the program who is the creator of the Natural Time Calendar. It's a 13 moon cycle calendar, which always seemed to make more sense to me. That you've got something, if you're going to use the stars and the astronomical attributes around us for whatever, for guiding ships across the ocean and so forth, it just seemed to me to make sense. Why don't you just use those, like the moon as it orbits the Earth, to tell us what time? I mean, every time there's a full moon, okay, let's say that's the beginning of the month. New moon, it's halfway through the month. And we come back to a full moon again, and it's a new month again. But I have no idea how we even ended up with the 12-month calendar.
Well, it's a big bureaucratic mess over many eons of civilization, starting back when the Roman Empire, when they had Julius and Augustus as emperors, and they inserted their names or months to herald themselves in the middle of summer. We used to have a 10-month calendar, for instance, and that's why you can say October, which is clearly a reference to eight, an
right.
Octopus,
mm-hmm.
is the 10th month of the year, because those two emperors gave themselves months in the middle. So our 12-month calendar is pretty crazy and manipulated over time for power.
On top of the fact that, in addition to the fact that every 4 years we throw an extra day into February, and anybody born on that day, if you really took it literally and technically, only ages 1 year every four.
Wow.
So if you're 16, you're only 4 years old, kid. I don't care if you are in high school, you're only four.
You could bottle that and sell it.
You could. The other aspect, too, is that we also are losing somehow there was, I seem to recall there was an explosion. I mean, it was a volcano that actually shifted the earth by like, I don't know, a millisecond or a half a second or something like that. And so they had to adjust all the atomic clocks, which then changes all the calendars. I mean, the thing just goes on and on, whereas you don't have that problem with a moon cycle calendar, do you?
No, it's a lot simpler. Oh. But I do want to show that the paradox for all of us through all the ages of human experience is that the moon cycle, as it moves around the Earth, doesn't fit neatly within our Earth cycle around the sun. So that's been the dilemma, is that it's very hard to take a 365-day year, which is actually the journey of the Earth through the cosmos, and subdivide it based on the moon cycle from full to full, because that is a 29.5-day cycle.
And it's pretty accurate.
It's
pretty locked in, 29.5.
It is locked in. So what a lot of indigenous cultures did was relied on a different moon cycle, which is the female menstrual cycle. For some reason, that personal orbit is 28 days, most usually, most frequently, most healthily. So a 13-moon calendar is actually a reference to the female response to the moon in her body, and that was easier for ancient cultures to track because it has a very clear marking, and they did. They revered the women and their cycle. So the 13-moon calendar that I keep publishing and referring to in my work is 13 times 28 even days in a month over and over, and that comes to 364 days in a year.
And
there's a nice, neat division. We have one extra day, but
I have to wonder if it, as you say, a bureaucratic nightmare, if man's ego isn't in there saying, we can make this better.
Right.
And so they did.
It's funny, though. The irony is that mankind keeps improving everything, and we have technological revolutions, and we change our computers every year, but the calendar that we are following is over 400 years old. So it could be tinkered with yet.
And then I wonder, when Y2K came along in the year 2000, and that was what was so fascinating to me. Everybody debated over when the beginning of the millennium was. Was it 2000 or 2001? And yet everybody was worried about the rollover from 1999 to 2000, and, oh, this will ruin our computers. You mean to tell me they didn't even bother to put a 2 or additional digits in that fourth column where the 1 is? I mean, please. I just found that so fascinating. What are the basic elements in your calendar that you have incorporated from the Mayan calendar? And maybe we should go back and maybe define a little bit more what the Mayan calendar is. And maybe later on we'll also talk a little bit about the Mayan calendar and, of course, 2012.
That's right.
But let's define the characteristics of the Mayan calendar. I mean, do they have Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday? Different names, of course. How do they break the minutes of the hours of the days of the weeks of the months of the years down?
Well, they're probably most concerned with the day that is the rising sun and the setting sun, because that was their way of revering a god. God gave life through light.
And don't the Jews do the same thing?
Well, I would guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But that was how it was all, how we perceived the great divine forces early on, was through the heat and light of day. So in any case, it's a day count, but the Maya had many calendars. They were just so proficient in astronomy and very ritualistic around time. So the modern version has an incorporation of a 13-moon calendar, which is, yes, moving through a cycle of 1 year over 13 moons. But simultaneously, they had a very sacred count of 260 days. And each of those 260 days has an energy or an honoring, an homage that they paid. And that is the calendar that we draw one's birth energy from.
Okay. Now, you have mentioned that Mayan astrology, you just take the day. That's the only piece of information that you need.
Yes,
okay.
That's right.
And your calendar for this 13-month cycle that we're in right now is the overtone.
Right.
All right. June 26th. And I like to forget this, sort of. I'll be 51.
Everyone's going to know.
Yeah, well, everybody already knows.
He looks very youthful.
Well, thank you. So I'll be 21 next June 26th.
Okay.
So what What information can you derive from that?
This is very exciting. And if there are listeners who are in the same age range of 50, 51, 52, 53, this is important. 52 is the rebirth for the Mayan perspective. And that's simply because if you take the 260-day calendar and the 365 calendar where we count our age, it takes 52 years for these two cycles to kind of move through all phases and reunite. So at 52, the energy is exactly the same as when we're born, and that's a giant cyclical completion. So you're approaching that. And in fact, when you're 51 and a quarter, it'll be like you're being conceived again, and you might feel that as an energetic shift.
Sort of like birth pangs, as it were?
Yeah, like going back into utero, into the tunnel of darkness, and then emerging really vitally when you turn 52.
So 51 and a quarter. How old are you? Yes, I am 51 and 3/8.
You can say that. I am being reconceived today.
That would be about this time next year, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Roughly?
So we're right there.
Okay, so a year from now, I'm going to be absolutely nuts.
It's usually a very authentic life shift. People drop into their truth, and we see upheaval like job changes, relationship changes, all good.
I'm not sure whether I should tell others to watch out or I better watch out.
You need to pay attention.
I'll pay attention. I'll keep my eyes open. As we talk about, let me ask you, because you've done a great deal of research into the history of the calendar as a coverall, how many calendars are there currently being used around the world? Not everybody's using the Julian calendar because we keep hearing like the Chinese New Year.
Right.
And we just celebrated the Jewish New Year back in September, if I'm not mistaken. I'm not even going to try to. I'll get it wrong. But everybody is working off of a different cycle.
Yeah. Well, like Islam has their own calendar, and we can assume that most of these are people reconnecting again to indigenous calendars that come down through their own spiritual lineage or ancestral. And most of the calendars you just referred to are lunar calendars, and they're counting moon cycles, like truly from new moon to new moon. So, and I'm not an expert on any except the Maya, but okay. I can affirm that there is kind of a renaissance of people recalibrating their lives to a more spiritual count than this very artificial and uneven Gregorian calendar that's our world unifier.
Mm-hmm. And again, I think I may have interrupted you when you were giving descriptions, characteristics of the Mayan calendar, days and weeks and months and years. And of course, most people are most familiar with the fact that the basic calendar runs multiple cycles that are, some are repeated, but the total cycle is like 25,000 years,
right?
Something like that. And there are those who are saying that that's the quote-unquote end of the calendar, when if I wanted to, I could pick up a calendar from 10 years ago, Gregorian, and use it. If the dates still fit, I could use it. So why are people thinking that it ends as opposed to, okay, now we're going to go back to day one of the Mayan calendar?
Well, it's funny because it does end. It's just that the next day it begins again, like any calendar. So I think the hysteria really feeds a fear quotient that we hold as a culture, that there are endings, that death is an end. But really, most spiritual truths show that death is just the beginning of an eternal life.
Okay.
So that we're feeding on our own fear of our death, and we project it onto this big end date. But legitimately, it's the end of a 26,000-year cycle that begins the next day. And that's a giant transit. I mean, that's almost how we describe the length of Homo sapiens. So now for
people who have, do you do Mayan astrological readings, not just for birth dates of individuals, but maybe birth dates of events or unions or incorporations, alliances, et cetera, so you might even be able to do a chart for, say, the founding of a country, a business, a marriage?
Yes, absolutely. It's transferable how we already perceive astrology and how it serves us, looking at time as the basis for, growing and emerging, instead of just like, I'm going to meet you here on this day. It's like, what happened that day? And looking at synchronicities. But yeah, a lot of what I do on my own and for people is to constantly speculate what the significant spiritual imagery is behind their life through counts of days.
I just think I've been doing a lot of thinking about time lately, not whether I have enough or too much or anything like that, but just how we have become so programmed to order our lives exclusively by some sequential series of numbers, that when it reaches that series of numbers, that readout, now I must turn to the left. Oh, now I must turn to the light because those numbers tell me I'm supposed to do that. And I wonder how many of these choices are really our own, or if we've just programmed ourselves and now we're on automatic.
Right. Well, there's that, and there's a really sort of hippie perspective, which is that our grid of time, our calendar grid, is much like a cage, and all this digital experience through heightened technology distills us from nature. So any time that I talk about the Mayan calendar, of course, it is from the Maya, but most profoundly, it's how to come back to natural cycles, cycles that live in our body, cycles that live in the sky, identifiably the sun and the moon and some stars.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, when you're talking about kind of being trapped in the paradigm of having to be somewhere and with deadlines, this is about lifelines and full life and actually not being linear, but being circular and seeing how time moves always back to a renewal, starting again in a circle.
Now, you have, I'm looking, I don't even know what month this is or where I would find that. All I know is I've just opened it up. And what I'm looking at, you do have it Monday through Friday and Saturday, Sunday.
That's right.
So those are some familiarities there. But each day has a symbol. For example, the first day of this particular month. And that's another thing. You have the first day always in the upper left-hand corner, regardless of what day of the week it is.
Well, it's just really interesting. He's looking at a 28-day month, people. And
yeah.
So what we're seeing is four equal weeks of 7 days long. So what we miss when we go to a 28-day month is all that kind of crazy, let's tack on two or three more days somewhere at the end. So yeah, we always get to start and finish in four equal rows of 7 days of 1 week each row.
And I just found the cross-reference to the Gregorian. So the first day of the month that I'm looking at actually corresponds to November the 15th.
All right.
And that is a red cosmic dragon. Okay.
See, that's already more exciting. If we're going to meet for coffee on Red Cosmic Dragon, then it's probably going to be a pretty good time. Otherwise, we have to say we're meeting for coffee on November 15th or 11/15.
Okay.
So this is a much more imaginal, cosmological. It has a mythology. Red Cosmic Dragon, again, is modern language, but it celebrates the crocodile from the Mayan Yucatan territory, a beautiful beast to them that lives in darkness but, you know, holds birth as a creation myth.
Is there only one red cosmic dragon in the 13 months?
Well, it's complicated to explain it super fast, but there are 260 days, and each of the 260 days has a name like this. And
okay.
So when we're born, we each incarnate with a name like that for our lifetime.
Okay.
But there are 20 archetypes, like dragon, red dragon, white wind, blue knight, yellow seed. And then there are these middle words like cosmic and overtone and resonant. And you combine them and you have 260 possibilities.
Okay.
It's a lot of minutiae. But the good news is, like, for instance, I looked up your birth at the break, and we now know that you're a red electric moon. So your day of birth fell in this energy of the red moon. And we're in a red moon year, so there's a nice correspondence for everything you're feeling right now.
Okay.
This is your year.
The unsettledness is what you're saying and I'm feeling.
Maybe.
Because it really is, because I'm seeing so much going on, so much turmoil, so much anguish and angst and what have you. And I'm spending a lot of my time when I'm driving sort of reminiscing in my head while I'm listening to the music that I used to listen to. And I'm not talking about going back to the 60s and the 50s music or that kind of, it's the music that I would, that was meaningful to me then. I'm playing it again. And yet there's been millions of songs written since by wonderful artists, but I'm listening to this individual or these people instead. Is that part of that process?
Well, I think that's part of your process of coming into the age of 52. In other words, for the Maya, we can suppose that they wouldn't have the ability to live much older than 52. So for them, this time in your life is more of a reckoning as they move towards preparing to die. Now, we have all these ways of living a long time, so we get to be reborn, as it were, when we're 52. So I suspect that you're doing this kind of recapitulation in a very organic way because you know that you're preparing for your own cyclical change.
Even though I may not know exactly what is going to happen, even generally, let alone specifically, I know something's coming.
Yeah, it's an intuitive alignment again with natural cycles.
Yikes. Okay. this is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan here with Lisa Starr and her lunar calendar, the natural time calendar. I kind of like that. And we'll talk about how to reconnect. And that's something that many of my guests have talked about in terms of you want to center yourself. You want to get back to, so to speak, your roots. You need to reconnect with nature. And we'll talk about that connection with nature in your calendar as we continue here on Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan. Now we're going to go to our astronomical and astrological assignment editor, Beth McDonald, who is going to share with us what is, in her world, what is coming up astrologically as far as the events of, here we are in the second to last day of October, going into November, December, and into 2011.
Hey there, Richard.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing very well. How are things going as far as the Earth spins and the charts are reading as far as we talked last time about Venus in retrograde? I don't ever like to hear about Mercury in retrograde, and I have a feeling I didn't care much for Venus in retrograde either, but tell me a little bit about that.
Well, you know, Venus rules love. It rules your relationships. It rules money. And money matters. It rules your relationship to money. And so what I see a lot right now in clients is a renewed focus on their financial matters. A lot of times old bills come due or financial things happen. It's certainly a huge driver of the election right now, that sort of thing. In people, though, it's also a time of reconnecting, a renewed desire for connection with God and with our fellows. And a lot of times you see old friends, old lovers, people you hadn't seen in a while show up during a Venus retrograde.
Interesting.
It's a good time to reconnect. And then you factor on to that. Now, I'd love, Lisa, it's so good to hear you speak, and I'd love to know the Mayan perspective on this particular weekend, because in the Celtic culture, this is the new year. This is like the starting of a whole new cycle, the ending of the harvest season and the beginning of another. And, you know, today and tomorrow are the most sacred days in the Celtic calendar, and it's a time when our intuition is stronger, our dreams are more vivid, and it very definitely a time of reconnecting with our community.
Lisa?
I don't have an exact response to that, but just synchronistically, I would like to affirm that Monday, when we come out of Halloween and we're in the Day of the Dead, we are actually in the same exact energy as December 21st, 2012. So we can wake up to that after we've been through our Celtic renewal.
We get to go through this twice.
Several times.
So to speak.
Well, it's just a very powerful time. It's just a very powerful time. And what I know, and I'm sure you see the same thing, Lisa, is a lot of times the intensity of a moment really can scare people or knock them off their feet or make them feel less confident. And a lot of what I find myself saying to people right now is like, just breathe. You know, nothing's really wrong. This is just what is, and there's a lot of grace here. So be sure to breathe and ground and stay open and present for the magic. It's not all, it's not all the death, destruction, and mayhem end of a cycle. Cycle is also about the rebirth, the regeneration. You know, focus on the good stuff, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very interesting. And you're going to be joining us in studio in November as we open the phones to take people's calls throughout the entire month of November, every Saturday from 3 to 4 p.m. You'll be offering people an opportunity to get a short reading from you.
Yes.
Great.
Thank you so much.
You bet, and we'll look forward to seeing you then. How can people get in touch with you?
Oh, through my websites, BethMcDonaldConsulting.com.
Okay, BethMcDonaldConsulting.com, and Beth, we will talk to you next week.
Excellent, and thanks again. Thanks, Lisa.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. This is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan with Lisa Starr. We're talking about her natural time calendar and its relationship with the Mayan calendar. And it's kind of strange to say that it's just a relationship because it's more than that. I mean, it's very integrated.
It's totally derived from the Mayan cycles, and it's just all about not using Mayan language or even a literal translation, but a more of a mystical one.
Okay.
So it's supposed to enable us in modern culture to link in with something that they were doing in ancient times. It's to serve us understanding it now.
I take it then that the symbols that are on each of these days are derived from the calendar.
That's right. Well, they're glyphs that are actually carved inside the Mayan temples, I mean, along their walls. So that's where they come from.
And the meanings of each of these symbols?
Well, each archetype is represented. So the Maya had this picture that all of life could be sort of honored in 20 different ways. So we have days that are like red moon, white wind, blue storm, yellow sun. So those are kind of basic elements. There's animals like white dog, red serpent, blue monkey. So overall, we get 20 different ways to really awaken each morning in reverence to life.
Okay. So someone could, and do you have references in the calendar other than on each of the pages? Do you have references so someone can better maybe understand what the red moon is and the blue monkey and so forth? As far as, I mean, there are four basic colors.
Mm-hmm.
And yet there are a myriad of course, the animals and the planets and so forth and so on. The colors obviously have a meaning.
They do. It's for the four directions, which is familiar even from Plains Indians here. So
okay.
The medicine wheel is four directions. So red in the east, white in the north, blue in the west, and yellow in the south.
Okay.
So that each day and each archetype is oriented to one sacred aspect of life.
And then each of the animals and so each of the other symbols that is listed for each of those days also has a given meaning.
Yes, it does. And really strong ones. Like today, if we are celebrating Red Serpent, we're going to imagine and envision that we are also that close to the earth, that we have a skin sensitivity to everything going around, that we mm-hmm. can't run off. So we're almost obligated to feel what's happening on the earth itself. It's a very primal day. It's medicinal because the snake is often associated with, you know, its venom being an antidote. So that's like the energy of this particular day, our instinctual survival through our reptile evolution.
Now, are there, and this is the reason why it's so important to sort of understand these different elements in their individuality so that when you put them together with the colors, are there red monkeys versus blue versus yellow versus white?
No. There's only blue monkeys.
So there's only, okay, all right. It's an important distinction.
It's true. You know, there is each color association. This is helpful when people look up their birthdays.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're born in the east, it's associated with red, dawn, rising, sun, and fire. So blue monkey is the opposite. It's water. It's blue night falling. It's the dream time. So each color actually aligns with one of the four elements and the four aspects of being, whether it's our mind, our spirit, our heart, emotions, or our body, and so on.
Now, there are other civilizations that have existed, and some still do, that have had calendars, that have had prophetic utterances. Why is the Mayan calendar such a focal point? Because there are, as I said, there are others who have predicted similar kinds of things, but they don't seem to be getting quite the headlines.
Well, I mean, I think the short answer to that is that there are a lot of prophecies from truly indigenous cultures, i.e. the Hopi and in Peru and the Maya, that all correlate that this particular dawn has a quality of deep importance. And I like to describe it for people. If we think about the Milky Way as being this swirl of collected stars, it has a very dark center. It looks more like a circle with a dark center. And on the dawn of winter solstice 2012, we will see the sun rise in the sky right into that hole. or out of it, so mm-hmm. that the prophecy is describing the rebirth of the sun through this amazing birth portal of the sky. And that is what the Maya were looking for as a giant renewal. So other cultures do as well. And now in terms of why we give it so much importance, it seems to me that it is important, that there's a universal sense that it matters and we can feel life accelerating towards change. But, you know, 2012 is just also a reiteration of Y2K, or the return of Christ that was anticipated in 2000. So I think that just all of the focus is on now, because there is a real change that we're trying to explain.
Well, I know I spoke with one of my guests some time ago when we talked about the events that are unfolding. And it is only those events that we are aware of that impact us. For example, and I use the analogy, Earth is just sitting out here in the middle of the universe, and there are two asteroids. One is hurtling off away, far away from us, but the other one's heading right for us. The one that's heading away from us has no effect on us whatsoever, and we don't care. Well, why should we? It's the one that's heading towards us, obviously, or that may brush by us, that has us all shook up. And I guess that's really where I'm kind of coming from, that if we didn't know any of this stuff, if we didn't even weren't even aware of the Mayan calendar, would this still really be impacting us in the way that it seems to be impacting society? Or is it, as we take it to a higher level, it literally is more on an energetic level, that whether you're aware of it or not, if you've been living in a cave for your lifetime and you were to come out, you would feel on an intuitive level what's going on.
Well, I'm in that camp, because I tend to feel like humans are really needing to remember that we're animals, and that we're extremely perceptive and sensitive to energy, that our instinct and also just, you know, our skin senses can feel what's coming. To me, there's a very living example in Santa Barbara of the fog density of this whole summer and the different weather patterns. And to me, I don't know a lot about science, but my energetic sense is that we're responding to the ocean reacting to a giant oil spill. Now, again, I haven't done enough research to be an expert, but that's my intuitive sense, that we're having a very real reaction in our localized level to something much bigger. And that's a metaphor to me, that there is a giant astronomical transit coming in 2012, and we as animals are responding sensitively to it.
I know that there are many people who are expecting some kind of physical, because the word transformation is being used a lot. And matter of fact, in December, we're going to be talking with a number of people in regards to a book that's coming out, or that actually I think is still available, regarding the 2012 transformation. Some are looking for calamity. Some are looking for enlightenment. And some are looking to be carried away, almost literally.
Right.
Not asking you to tell us what's coming in that, you know, of those three categories per se. What can you share with us that could help us better understand this?
Well, I definitely find myself drawn to both shadows and light. In other words, in terms of a prophecy and what I perceive happening, I agree that so much is breaking down and falling away, and that there's breakage in each of our lives around money or security. But at the same time, there's all that illumination, like a sense of love and connection with people that we didn't used to have time to see because we were too busy maintaining our material world. But on the other hand, there's this way that to me, 2012 itself is best felt one day at a time. I mean, the reason I invest all this energy into Mayan astrology, or teaching a Mayan calendar that we can access in modern times, is because the Maya didn't fixate on a 26,000-year cycle. They had daily cycles that helped them stay in the moment. It was like their precursor to a 12-step program, which really invites everyone to be here now.
Yeah.
And just take little bite-sized chunks of life. Just be with what you can. And a day is enough. Mm-hmm. So I teach people mostly, stop projecting out in the future and be here in your life presently now. And then you create this change of self that will help you with whatever calamity or beautiful enlightenment that's coming.
Hmm. Well, I find it fascinating from the standpoint that I can take a look at this calendar and a given day, and I can then take the symbols and the references, and I can get a sense of what that day is going to be like, which as you just stated, is going to keep me more focused on that day.
Yeah, that's exactly it. It's like having a mantra or a fortune cookie to guide you through the day. And it deepens as you give it reverence, as you revere this calendar by paying attention to the cycles. You know, you drop into even deeper support that it can offer through its synchronicities.
When you work with your clairvoyance, what is it that you're doing?
I'm undoing, because we're all extremely intuitive. And if I had training, I did have a lot of training. I've practiced a long time. It's all about undoing the mind that wants to control and analyze, overanalyze things into logic. So a clairvoyant reading now is really just an open eye and an open heart into someone's life story that is more like a dream than their actual everyday walking around, and trying to help them thread the two worlds so that they can live their dreams. I mean, it's cliche sounding, but it's true. We all have a desire and we get blocked from accessing it, and I'm trying to help people get a direct contact with that.
I had, I don't know whether I want to call it an observation or an awareness, the other day, I was sitting watching people, okay? And I'm listening actually to some people on the radio talking about some very serious things. They were talking about money, and they were talking about the economy, and the thing that ran through my mind was, this person talking in this very serious, low male tone used to be a kid, used to be a little boy, okay? Used to be running around having a great time, and now here is this little kid in this big adult body talking these big words about these complex formulas, and I wonder, does this guy even remember? Is he even aware of? Because I remember thinking as a kid, I would listen to my parents' conversations and think, wow, that doesn't really sound all that. I'd be great when I'm an adult. This will be easy, because what they're doing is not that hard. And what I've found at times, it hasn't been that hard. But then there have been those other times that are much longer, that are very, very, very challenging. But I remember when I was a kid, I didn't have a wallet. I didn't have an ID. I didn't have any money. But I had a home, I had clothes to wear, I had a bed to sleep in, and I had food to eat. And even when I was going to school, it was still the same. I still didn't have a wallet, I still didn't have an ID, I didn't have a checking account, I didn't have all of the trappings that I have today, and I was doing just fine.
Well, I just feel like you're being very prophetic, because when the economy falls apart, we might all end up not having a checking account or a need for a wallet, but we might have shelter in each other and a very simple, you know, child-level life. The innocence might be returning. And that's definitely, I mean, everything you're saying to me is just absolutely right on, that we've gotten so serious that it's often a question in my mind whether humans are an evolution or a de-evolution from primates, because the monkey life, the blue monkey life, is very childlike and fun and humorous and playful.
Yeah. And creative.
Very.
I mean, I built forts. I dug tunnels. I did all those things. I built models. It was great. I had a great time. And you talk about whether we're evolving or de-evolving to the primates. Yeah, well, there are those who say I need to shave my ears a little more often. But nonetheless, a little too much information there, I suppose. We're talking with Lisa Starr, and she is the creator of the Natural Time Calendar. It's a 13-moon cycle calendar, and it is available at your website, which is
ResonantTruth.com. So ResonantTruth.com.
Resonant, not resident, resonant, right. As in resonance.
Yeah, I guess that's another way of being psychic, is telling the truth in the resonance field, hence the name.
Well, if it resonates with you, that kind of thing. So ResonantTruth.com. You can check out many of the other things that she's doing. You also have a book coming out?
That's right. I am working on my own introduction to this calendar, so it reads more. It's more of a book, although this calendar that we've been referencing has a lot of written information in the back. This is a full on, I call it a sort of a feminine response to the 2012 hysteria, because there is a lot of masculine voices being very authoritative about these change. And part of what I'm offering again is, if we just bring it back to present time, kind of ground in our bodies, then we will have calm and serenity through it.
I know that you probably don't see a lot of movies or television.
I see lots of movies, but not the one you're going to ask me
about. No. And you don't know the one I'm going to ask you about. There was one that just recently came out with a lot of several gentlemen who appeared in their own action-adventure movies. Morgan Freeman and Bruce Willis, and I'm trying to think of the other people.
Mickey Rourke.
And so forth and so on, right? Yeah. And I was thinking that 2012, that would have been a great movie to bring those guys back to solve the problem.
That's right.
You know, I mean, they sent Bruce Willis off to the asteroid to blow it up so it wouldn't crash into the Earth. And I'm thinking, okay, so how would they do this? Because you have earthquakes, and you have volcanoes, and you have tsunamis, and you have weather changes. And how are they going to change and fix? And very, very interesting scenario. We're going to come back and wrap things up here. I have one final question that I will put to you as we continue talking about your calendar, the Natural Time Calendar. And we encourage people to check it out and pick it up and do their own research as well. I mean, it the whole idea is to put these pieces together to, as you've kind of been saying, dispelling some of the fear. I mean, you talked about you deal in both the shadow and the light.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? We can't escape it. I mean, without the shadow, there is no light.
I totally agree.
So right now there is that duality. And so if we can demystify it and get the fear out of there and just observe, be the observer as opposed to the participant or the reactor, our lives can take on a whole different perspective.
Right. My very quick analogy is always, if we see the full moon and we see that it's all light, and then we see the new moon and think the moon isn't there, that's just incorrect. It's in shadow, and we just have to be more daring and blind when we go to find it. So that's the way I walk through life as well.
I like that. And with that, we'll take a break. I'm Richard Dugan. This is Tell Me Your Story.
Remember the stories your family used to tell?
Till I got married, 1913, when my father and my uncle came from Italy.
When was the last time you listened to the songs of your youth?
Well, close. Yes, very swinging sound here in the Bilhart Underground. That's Wild Things.
Want to hear those voices and music again? Fast Forward can help. Fast Forward Audio Communications can transfer your records and tapes to CD so you can hear them again for the first time.
You're listening to a live transmission of the voice of astronaut Walter Chirac.
Those memories are priceless and are great to hand down to the next generation. Keep those memories alive. Call 805-708-9804.
That's the greatest thing that I ever heard.
Fast Forward. It's the right direction for preserving your family memories. Just call 805-708-9804.
Election Day is Tuesday, November 2nd, and the most comprehensive live coverage on the South Coast is happening right here at AM 1290, the News Press radio station. Hi, I'm David Jay, inviting you to join me, Jerry DeWitt, Joe Armendariz, Ed Giron, Jason Nelson, Scott Stapleton, Jerry Fall, and the AM 1290 News team for live Election Day coverage beginning at 8 p.m. on Tuesday, November 2nd. That's complete election coverage with results, interviews, and analysis beginning at 8 p.m. on Tuesday, November 2nd, right here at AM 1290 and streaming live at newspress.com.
Hello, everyone. I'm Jerry Fall, inviting you to join Mark Patton and me live from Irvine tonight, beginning at 9 p.m., for the second half of the UCSB men's soccer game against the UC Irvine Anteaters. It will follow the SBCC Vaqueros football game at 9 o'clock, right here on AM 1290, the Santa Barbara News Press radio station.
Trouble that you know empties out as you go. Oh, walk with me.
Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, and we are here every Saturday from 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific Time. And we're also available on the internet at richarddugan.com, and that is part of the technology that we were just talking about, Lisa. And I realize that for a lot of folks, it can be extremely fearful when you start talking about the systems that are kind of devolving and winding down, as it were, because they aren't working. They just aren't working. And there is no amount of duct tape and baling wire that's really going to fix them, because they don't serve us anymore. And so we now need to move forward. Do you kind of feel that from a calendar aspect, that the ones that we have, they don't really serve us, because all they're doing is marking days, as opposed to yours, which sort of gives us a little bit more than just days. It gives us a little more information about what the day could be like if we kind of tapped into that energy of that particular day.
Well, I think of myself as very old-fashioned, because rather than being progressive and seeing everything breaking down and that we're moving to something new, this calendar or any sort of lunar calendar is just going back and picking up what worked for a long time before this modern industrial wave. So my biggest concern is that we have calendars that are in rhythm, because when we have a 30 and 31 day month, we're all out of rhythm, which really in our body, like a heartbeat, would be a sickness. So it's all about finding your own way back into connection with nature. And I love this Mayan one, because it's an affirmation as we go into the Mayan prophecy of all that the Mayan knew and their wisdom. So we can connect to this prophecy through this present Mayan calendar moment.
It's something I need to research more. I know very little about the Mayans, other than at one point they were there, and then the next moment they were gone, and nobody knows how or why or where. So it's very intriguing. Final question, and you've sort of answered this as we've gone through this hour, but to codify it down, you could be doing a lot of other things. Why this? Why now?
Well, I was actually raised in this calendar by my mother, and I think that we almost always accidentally and against our, you know, judgment, return to what interests our parents, because it was in us when we grew up. And so I honor my mom for bringing me that. And I am passionately interested, because I have a very busy mind. So empty mind spirituality, empty mind meditation doesn't work for me. I need constant activity. I have a monkey mind. So this fills that need for something to be reverent, but busy with, fully alive with.
And you've obviously had a good time putting it together.
Yes.
And this will come out each year?
It will come out
each 13
year.
Months, I should say.
Yeah. Every July on the Gregorian calendar, there's a new Mayan year. And, you know, meanwhile, I podcast every day at resonanttruth.com, and I post there as well. So there's a lot of interactive, vital, day-by-day experience through my work.
So you are connected to a point.
I am.
Technologically.
I am dialed in each morning for about 20 minutes, and then I try to get free of my laptop.
It is difficult because of our lives and the society in which we live, and to make time to reconnect with nature, as we started the program talking about, which seems to be the message from a lot of folks, yourself included,
yes,
is extremely important.
Yes. Let's try to be more real with our surroundings, even though we have this vast technology that can travel across the world. It's really nice to see what's happening outside our door.
Yeah. We had a really nice rain last night. I actually woke up around 3 o'clock in the morning. Not because of the rain, but I went into the studio and I just sat there for a couple of minutes just listening to the rain come down, you know, and thinking, wow, this is nice. I mean, we had a little respite there since the last weekend, and then we got this, and it was a pretty good downpour up on the mountain.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
It was really nice.
I should let us close this hour by saying that I was born as a blue storm on the Mayan calendar. So whenever it rains, I see myself in it.
Well, thank you so much, Lisa, for joining us today.
Thank you so much for letting me.
You bet. I'm Richard Dugan, and this has been Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I encourage you to join us every Saturday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time. Go to the archives page and listen to our previous broadcasts, including this one, which will be up there. Until then, love.